this is one of those times. So John, we bless you. And as always, our hearts are completely open to you. We're open to receive not only the words that God's given you, but the Spirit, His Spirit with those words. We bless you to be free in ministering the word this morning. Amen.
Good morning. You know, scripture, Hebrews, I think, somewhere in the scriptures, it says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Well, I think I don't know if it's a great cloud of witnesses or a cloud of great witnesses, but I feel that every time I come over here. Paul may have been writing about something ethereal and spiritual, but to come up and to see all of you, I feel that surrounding of a great cloud or a cloud of great witnesses. Vivian, my goodness, it's great seeing you.
Good to see
you. If you'll indulge me a moment, I met Vivian when I was just a young pup. My wife and I, and many other young, thank you.
I'm sorry. I can tell right now.
Yeah. And many other young men and women, we weren't men and women then. We were just young teenagers thinking we knew everything. And we had these great people to watch over us, the Ludwigs, the Cocases, the Martinezes, and just kind of took us in. And thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Anyway, thank you. Proverbs says that the grandchildren are a crown of an old man. Looking at my granddaughter, I'm glad I'm an old man. anyway, really great to be here. If we could look at... Gospel of Luke. Much of what the word David shared this morning that came in the worship is a lot of what the Lord was showing me, and I'd like to share this morning. And one of the things is our testimony and our witness. Who are we testifying about and who are we witnessing about? And I know lately I've seen on television, what is a Christian? Even CNN had a program on what is a Christian. And there are all these different approaches. And it reminded me a lot of when Jesus turned to the disciples and said, "Who do men say that I am?" That's still happening. Christ is still a question mark to the world. They're still wondering, who is this Jesus? Who is this Christ? So what was prevalent back then when Christ asking the disciples is still prevalent now. It still goes on today. And there are many testimonies and many witnesses. Just like back then when the disciples said, well, some say you're one of the prophets. You come back to life. Some say you're this. Some say you that. You're that. And yet you can see and hear from many people, they have a testimony about who Jesus is. But it's not correct. It's just a little skewed. It's a little bit different. It's not who he really is. We want a testimony and a witness of who Christ is. We would like that, who he really is. But when Peter says to him, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus says, "You're right, that's who I am. The Father has revealed this to you. Not flesh and blood. It's been revealed to you by my Father." Our knowing him and our coming to realize who he is can only come through a revelation of the Holy Spirit and a calling from the Father. Jesus said, "Only whom the Father calls, they'll know me." He talks about how it's something that the Father opens up to those whom he wishes to know who Christ is. In the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 21, Jesus presented at the temple. David touched on this a little bit where he says the beginning, small beginnings, Christ born in a manger. You know, the prophecy about Christ, if you read it, we would not desire him, it says. There was nothing about him that we would want to go out and be draw us near. Where is that in? Yeah. But he wasn't someone that we would be really drawn to in the flesh. I think it's Isaiah 53. There wasn't something that was, you'd see him and want to be, you know, want to hang around with him, want to be part of it. But if you could see with the spiritual eyes, you could see that he was everything. He was a creator of all things. Luke chapter 2 says, when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms. Took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. I heard a minister on TV say, you know, he was born in the manger, then grew up to be the Christ. No, I'm sorry. He was the Christ before the foundations of the world. He was the Lamb slain before the world was even made. You know, if your religion or your belief you think is better because it was here, because of it's older than mine. Well, mine was before the world was born. You know, my belief in Christ existed before the world was created. You know, you've heard that debate. Well, you know, insert name of religion here. It's older than Christianity. No, it's not. It may be older than an organized religion of Christianity, but it's not older before the word was in the beginning. How can you get, you can't get in front of in the beginning. In the beginning is in the beginning. There's nothing that comes before that. But he says, you can release your servant now. I'm done. I've seen it. Goodbye. Your promise has been fulfilled and you've allowed me to see it. You didn't have to wait to see miracles performed or to see him go to the cross. But he laid hold of that promise and he saw it in that little child, 8 days old. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Let's see, a virgin birth, being directed by an angel to go there, and this amazes them? You know, I would say it was quite an amazing thing for them to experience. What is this you're speaking about, my little baby? And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Blessed those two senior Christian believers who held on to a word and saw it come to pass. There's something to say for those who may have become advanced in age, but they haven't let go of that promise of their youth. and they're still waiting and looking. Simeon and Anna, bless them for being there and for what they proclaimed. You notice they testified about Jesus, about who he is. They didn't get up and say, I'm Simeon, I've been here every day, and the Holy Spirit, listen to what the Holy Spirit has told me to do. You know, I've been coming here every day, and now he finally shows up, but I've been coming here every day. You know, but he finally showed up, but I've been coming. No, it was like, doesn't matter what I am. My testimony, his testimony, is about the Christ. Yeah. Same with Anna. Her testimony was about the Christ. In the Gospels, Jesus commands, in the book of Acts, he commands the disciples to be witnesses of him. We're to go out and we're to be witnesses of the Christ, of who he really is. Of who he really is. Not what some men may think he is, or what some people may believe that he is, or even what some men or women may want him to be. But we're to testify and be witnesses of who he really is. Nothing more and nothing less. Let's look at John 3. In verse 22. John 3, verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. John also was baptizing in that place near that one other place because there was so much water there. And people were coming and were being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with the Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. When you read that in the scriptures about that, it says the Pharisees came to John to find out, to ask him if he was the Christ, and it says he confessed and did not deny. He stopped them before they could ask him. He didn't deny he wasn't the Christ. He confessed, I am not the Christ. His testimony and his witness was for the true light that came into the world. Nothing about himself. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, and of that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. They came and John again just testified to who Christ was. He is the Son of God. Let's look at John 4, verse 28, the woman at the well. We know the story. Verse 28. It says, so the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. It talks about his disciples came and offered him food, and he said he had food to eat which they know not of. And verse 39 says, from that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with him, and stayed there, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Thank you for bringing us to him. And what you spoke to us encouraged us and gave us a glimpse of who the Christ was. But you know, we don't need to listen to you anymore, because now we've come to know him for ourselves. Our testimony should lead others to know him. She didn't stop and build a church, you know, the church of the woman who Jesus told everything about. You know, and then bring people in and going over everything that, oh, did I tell you? You know, today's message is what Jesus told me. Did I tell you that he told me everything about my life? You know, you don't build something on that. But you build on what? Just what Jesus said. On this rock, on this revelation, I will build my church. On the revelation, the rock of who he is. They're saying, thank you, but we believe because of what we have come to see. Because what has been real to us. Thank you, I'm glad he spoke to you, but we no longer believe because of what you say. But we've heard it ourselves. The greatest thing, we've all went through this. Someone somewhere witnessed to us or testified to us. Back in 1970, when I was told by during a campus life meeting, my wife Jerry took me there. We're just high school kids, and I went because they were offering barbecue. And I kind of wanted to be with Jerry. Barbecue? No, it was you first, honey, Jerry. But the girl who witnessed to me, all she told me was that, you know, Jesus loves you. Yeah, they had a service. They had a little Bible study, a meeting. But outside on the curb, she said, you know, Jesus loves you. I believed because of what she said. But when I went home that night and opened my heart to him, now I know for myself. Now I knew Jesus loved me. The experience that I had of the relationship of seeing him, who he is, that he was something real, someone real, changed everything. I don't believe I ever had contact with her again. But that didn't matter. It was the contact that I had with the Lord that was the lasting, the thing that would last. So they believed, not because only of what she said, but because they had seen it and heard it ourselves. Acts chapter 3. Healing the lame beggar. Verse 1, it says, now Peter and John were going up the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms for those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood up and upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 16 says, Peter is talking to the crowd because it came up and they were gathering around them. And Peter says in verse 12, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk? And verse 16 says, but on the basis of faith in his name, It is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. They gave the man not what he had wanted, you know, not anything like that. They gave him what they had, not what the man was seeking. Nowadays, perhaps you would have been told, well, take all the alms you've begged and give a portion of it to the Lord and plant a seed faith. And then maybe later on, God will bless you with more money and you'll get more alms. If that's all he's seeking, we'll just direct him to do that. What can we give, or what do we give to people? Peter and John just say, you know, we don't have anything other than this. The only thing we can give you is Christ. We can give you the living God. That's who we can give you. That's our testimony. That's our witness. They talked about after the healing, they gave witness to who the Christ was. For a lot of people, Jesus is a financial planner. He's a motivational speaker. He's your life coach. If you think I'm kidding, watch Christian religion television. And it seems like there's a thread that goes through all of them, that you have to unleash the God potential in your life. No. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's not the one who's going to, you know, if I just do this and plan this out and do this, then, yeah, Jesus will motivate me to become a better person. Or he'll motivate me to do this or that. Jesus was not a motivational speaker. He did not come for that. He came to save that which was lost. He came as God incarnate, the Word of God in flesh. I'm not so interested in finding out what my purpose in life is. Scripture says he's going to do everything according to his purpose anyway. So, walk in a manner worthy, the scripture says. When you do good works, do them in such a way that when people see them, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. So that must mean there must be a way to do good things in such a way that people glorify you and not your Father which is in heaven. But Jesus said, you know, when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. When you pray, do it in your closet. God who hears you in secret will reward you openly. It seems like things have been turned around because people look, they haven't seen the real testimony and witness of who Christ is. They think he's going to come and, well, you know what? You read in the scriptures, he says he's Emmanuel. He's a great and mighty counselor. If you want to know who Christ is, he is the Christ, the Savior. He's God incarnate. If that isn't enough, I don't know. I can't give you anything else. We turn to people and what they are seeking, we can't give it to them. We can only give to them what we have. Let's look at 1 John, and we'll be finished with this. First John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. And we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We have seen and heard what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write, so that our joy may be made complete. John said he actually touched the Christ. He actually heard him. He actually walked with him. He spent those nights with him in the 3.5 years of his ministry. He saw the wonderful things that Christ had done. And when it comes to the end, he says, you know what? All I have to give you is that, so that our fellowship may be complete. There's a joy that we have when we have that fellowship one with another. But doesn't the scripture say that as we walk in the truth, as he is in the truth, we have fellowship one with another? Our true fellowship with each other and with the Lord comes as we walk in the truth. And that truth is Christ. As we go through our lives, not only on this particular time of the season, but every day, whether it's by word or example, Lord, let us be a true testimony. Let us give a true testimony of who you are. That you're the Son of God who came, who gave his life a ransom for many. Lord, that we don't get caught up in the things that are just seem to be so new and the prevalent belief, but we hold on to that scripture that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you don't change. Lord, make us your witnesses to the truth of who you are. Amen.
I'm thinking in the world we live in the Christian religious world, I feel a little sad because I feel that the power of this word has somehow gotten lost in the shuffle, where people are trying to convince other people. And I think, you know, testimonies looked at somehow taking your belief system and somehow transferring it to another person or talking someone into something. Yet the Word of God says we're to be living epistles known and read of all people. I don't think the Father has greater joy than when he can just be himself, or when Jesus can be himself in our lives and just manifest as he is without us trying to add to it or take away. And you know, I just believe that the power of this is just so liberating. I remember back in the early 70s, late 60s, when things started really coming alive, and I share this, many in this room were with me in this. I'm so thankful that the Lord led us and we listened when all these things were happening, as far as, you know, there was a real moving, a revival taking place, but we were led to get to know him. Because that is the testimony. And I would just, if I can just read this about Paul, who I don't think would fit in too well on the TV today's world, trying to find a place to preach. He said, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Let's stand. We thank the Lord for the word this morning.